Author Anne Boekma, when she was in her 20s, she was part of a fundamental Christian church, and she left that because she was struggling with it. That wasn't answering the questions that she had. It wasn't dealing with the challenges that she had. And the God that she was experiencing in this church just wasn't doing it for her. She was really struggling with it. So in her 30s, she decided to step in and try out spirituality again. And she tried out lots of different things. She tried out New Age spirituality, from yoga to witchcraft, magic mushrooms. She did death cafes, things I've never even heard of. But she did these things because she was seeking something. She recalls a time in her early 30s. She was pregnant. She was praying really, really hard. She was 8 months pregnant, and she was in the hospital. She was having early signs of labor. And she got to the hospital, and when she got there, they could not find a heartbeat for her baby. And she said, I didn't even know if I believed in any sort of God at the time or any sort of deity, but at that time, I was crying out, God, please help me. God, do this thing. Just please make my baby okay. She was bargaining, begging, beseeching. God, do this, do this, do this. And she said, I didn't even believe in a God that intervened, but in that moment, I said, I don't care. God, do something. And I want to read what she writes about the rest of the story. It says, when all hope seems lost, praying means you're at least doing something. After searching in vain for another couple of minutes, the doctor picked up the cord attached to the ultrasound machine and dangled it in front of our eyes. It hadn't been plugged in. Our baby was alive, though not because of some divine intervention. And she said, this made me think about what Mark Twain must have meant when he said, under the circumstances, swearing seems more apt than prayer. Some might have called this incident a miracle. She said, we called her Ruby. Think about this for a moment. Sometimes really beautiful and wonderful things happen in the midst of our prayers, and we find a really quick way to say God didn't do anything. God wasn't present. God wasn't there. And sometimes things happen, and what we need is not God to intervene and do that thing, but sometimes we just need the peace that comes from knowing that God is there. Right? Sometimes that's what we need. So we started a new series last week called Let's Talk About It. Because what I recognize is that prayer is one of the conversations and one of the questions that you all ask me about more than anything. How do I make sure my prayer works? How do I know what to say during prayer? How do I make sure that I'm experiencing what God wants me to experience? And how do I deal with the fact that God doesn't always answer prayers in the ways that I want God to answer them? And a lot of people struggle with prayer. I don't know if you've ever been in a group or if you've ever been in a home and somebody goes, would anyone like to pray? There is no time people look away faster, right? If you're in a group, would someone like to pray for us? People are like, right? No eye contact. If I don't look at you, then perhaps there's no way that you will call on me. People are fearful that they'll say the wrong things. My prayers aren't as good as somebody else's. I remember one of my wife's good friends told us a story one time that she went out to lunch with a friend, and they were about to eat, and it was her practice, my wife's friend, that she would pray over food before they ate. And she looked at her friend and she said, do you mind if I pray for our lunch? And her friend pushed her plate towards her and said, feel free. You can pray over the food, as if the prayer wasn't for her, as if it wasn't okay for her to receive that, as if she wasn't worthy of receiving that prayer. And they had a good laugh about it. But prayer is one of those things that I think we struggle with, because in the real world, we're used to interaction and conversation. In the real world, in the tangible world, we're used to hearing from somebody when we have conversation with them. I want to take us to one of the most famous prayers that we find in the Bible. It's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, and I want to look at that a little bit this morning. It says, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us the ways we've wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I want to make a note here, because there are some churches that you'll go to that do this prayer every Sunday. And I've had people who've come to Crossroads, and they've been newer to Crossroads, and they say, why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? And my quick reason that I want to give you is, it has been my experience in churches that sometimes when we do the same thing every Sunday, it can become very rote. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The second piece that is one of the reasons we don't do it every Sunday is that if you walk into a room where everybody else is doing something and you don't know what it is, you instantly feel left out. My son recently went to a church to visit, and his experience was they were doing all these things and he didn't know what they were doing, and his dad's a pastor and he grew up in the church. So it's that experience of we want to make sure folks feel included. That prayer can feel exclusive to some folks. Everybody else just stands up and prays it. But there's another piece that I want you to notice. Take a look at this part again. It says, don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Jesus never said, pray this prayer or you're not a good Christian, right? Jesus never said, pray these words. If you don't pray these words, it's not real. But sometimes in the church, we will pull out singular things that Jesus said and make them. I had a professor in seminary who said we can idolize sections of what Jesus says and miss the whole thing. Sometimes we do that. So it says, pray like this. What Jesus was saying in this moment is not pray this prayer. Jesus was said, I'm teaching you how to pray. I'm giving you a bit of a format, not a formula, but a way to experience God that's bigger than just let's sit there and see what might happen. So today we're not going to talk about why we pray. Today we're going to move to how we pray. How do I do that? How do I do it in a way that's meaningful? How do I do that in a way that I experience God? And how do I do that in a way that I can connect with God? Now, I want to look at the context in this passage. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's really trying to push them away from some of the ways that the religious leaders are doing things that keep people out. He's saying, don't be showy. Like, don't stand up and say, our Father, who art in heaven, you know, looking around to see who's watching, right? It's not about getting all the attention on you. It's not to show how pious you are. It's not to show how amazing and how great you are. Don't take it out for everybody else to hear. Don't be like, as he calls them, the hypocrites. So there's this humbling that comes in prayer. There's a reset of how we think about connecting with God. There's this lack of needs for everybody else to see it. I remember when I was in college one time, I was part of this group of Christians that decided we were going to take on some of these spiritual disciplines. And one of the things we decided we were going to do was fasting. And back then, that was back before the day that you thought about fasting from a lot of things. It was just food. And I remember we would walk around our campus, and we'd run into each other, and we're like, are you fasting? Me too. Isn't it awful? And we're like, is anybody hearing us? Right? Is anybody listening? This idea that other people need to see it. And Jesus is saying, let that go. Stop making this about you. Prayer should not be about other people seeing you. So the first thing about how to pray, the first way we enter prayer is that it is God-centered. That's the first thing. And that's a really important piece because that really flavors what we expect to come out of it. Sometimes we jump right into prayer. Sometimes we say, God, good morning, I need X. I need Y. Can you make this happen? Amen. Right? Sometimes we forget that there's part of relationship. Sometimes we forget. I mean, look at the beginning of this prayer. It says, our Father who's in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. It names who God is. It names that God doesn't need this, that we need this. I remember there were times in the church when I was told that we had to pray so that God might love us more. That we had to pray because that's what God wanted for us. God doesn't need our prayer. We need the prayer. We need the connection with God, and we have to be reminded that God is God. See, if we don't start there in our prayer, then I think we don't get to the point where we recognize that God might be able to do something about it. If we can't name that God is God and we just jump in, it's no different than ordering at a fast food restaurant. Right? If we can't name God is incredible, God is amazing, God is God, God might be able to do something, then we miss out in our prayer life and we go to it and we just assume nothing is actually going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I love country music. See, this is another place where you're going to be like, man, we used to like that guy, right? I love country music and I love Jelly Roll. Anybody else a Jelly Roll fan? Oh, come on, y'all. I'm a big Jelly Roll fan. And he's gone in all kinds of genres, but he has this song, God, I Need a Favor. Anybody know this song? I want to read the lyrics to you because this is so true. He says, I only talk to God when I need a favor, and I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. So who the hell am I? I said it again for kids. That's a bad word, kids. Don't say that word. To expect a savior. Oh, if I only talk to God when I need a favor, but God, I need a favor. Do you ever feel like that with God? God, I need a favor. Do it now. It's almost like, and my kids aren't in the room right now, and they might not listen later, right? It's almost like when my kids come up and they go, I come home from work and I walk in and they're like, hey, sign this form. Or when they're like, hey, can I have $20? And I'm like, good morning. It's so good to see you. I'm glad that we're family, right? But instead, they come with the things they want, with the things that they need, and I do it too, right? I'll walk home from work and I'll say to my wife, hey, did you get this done? And she's like, how was your day, honey? Right? We forget the interactive part of this, that it's just about I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. And what it feels like as a parent sometimes is that I'm the ATM machine and the kids just want to swipe the card. And I wonder if it feels that way to God too. God, just give me what I want. That God's like that machine where we just go in and order. But the truth is, I'm not sure that that's transformative to anybody. I'm not sure that that does anything for us. In fact, the next part of that prayer is that we're praying for God's will to be done, for God's kingdom to come. That's a reminder for us to be part of helping the world look more the way that God designed it than the way that we want it to be. Right? God designed a world where all people feel valued. God designed a world where people aren't abused. God designed a world where we would care for one another. And part of it is, when we pray a prayer like this, when we say something to the effect of, God, we love you. God, we want to connect with you. And God, we hope that it's your will that's done today. It changes the way we walk through our day. Right? If I want God's will to be done, I am much less likely to put somebody down. Right? If I want God's will to be done, I am much more likely to fight for justice than I am if I want my will to be done. So I think that's a really important structure and a piece in there. When we say we want God's will to be done, it really does mean that hate has no home here. It means that people aren't hungry. People have a roof over their head. It's a world where there's peace, where there isn't bullying. That sets our prayer time and our focus on who God is and what God desires. So that's sort of that first piece that comes out of that prayer. Here's the second piece, and boy, this is already going to make some of you squirm. It's confession, right? There's a moment of confession in that prayer. Now, here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to come to me or Pastor Marcella and confess. Right? You don't have to come to us and say, these are all the things I've done. And in fact, sometimes we think about confession with God as God needs us to say that we're bad. And that's not the point of confession at all. Confession is so that we can release the things, so that we can give them up. Prayer can be cleansing. I mean, look at this part. It says, forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we forgive those who have wronged us. I love that it's in the order that it's in. Okay, God, I recognize you forgive me, so I should start forgiving other people. I should let go of that thing that person did that hurt me and made me mad. Right? That coworker that talks too much, I should forgive them. Right? That person that didn't do the job last week, my kid that just came and asked for $20 but didn't say good morning, I should forgive them. And it starts with recognizing that we've been forgiven. Do you see why the structure is the way that it is? If we recognize that we've been forgiven, we are much more likely to forgive. And this is, I want to be careful here. This is not a prescriptive prayer. It's not a, if you do it in this way, it will always work. It's a way to step into it to experience the power of God. That's the beauty of the way that this prayer is offered. This is a relationship. It's a relational aspect of prayer. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to pray for someone and then still be super mad at them. If I pray, if I actually pray for someone, if I actually lift them up, if I actually say, I pray for this relationship and this experience, it starts to soften me over time. It does that work in me. So it's a really, really important piece. And what I've said before about forgiveness is, if we don't forgive someone, we don't have to go back and step and be in relationship with them. But if we don't forgive them, it holds us hostage. Right? They get space in our mind, rent free. We just keep thinking about them. So forgiving and releasing is really important. Here's the next part, and this is an important piece. It takes us to a place of supplication. It's not a word we use every day. It's a big word, a big phrase. It's an idea that we can pray for things like not being led into harm or towards things that'll harm us. God, be with my friend. God, be with this illness that I have. God, help me get this job because I think it would be really good for my family. God, help the people that I'm caring for. See, in the first century, this was a real, real concern about being led into temptation. And I think sometimes we forget that there are things in our everyday life that can lead us to a place of harming others or harming ourselves. There are things we can do that can take us to that place. So while I don't pray every day, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, there is an aspect of prayer that I think is a supplication. God, help me be more like you. Help me love people. And for people that are dealing with illnesses or have family members dealing with illnesses, it's a real thing. But if we don't start with that, God, you are God and you can do something about it, it's often hard to believe when we get to the part of we need something that God will actually do it. Right? That's why this structure is given to the disciples. What Jesus recognizes is at the time, the Pharisees are all about, Lord God, in all of who you are, give me what I want. And what Jesus is saying is don't start there. Start from a place of humility, knowing that God loves you and that God walks with you. Because there's all kinds of temptations that are going to fight you every single day. All kinds of struggles that you're going to have. And what if our prayers every day included something like, God, don't let me harm anybody else today. In the words that I say, in the actions that I do, let me show grace. Let me show kindness. Let me be a part of peace. Supplications about lifting up things for other people, for ourselves. It's about asking God to move, God to do something really big. It's about getting to a place where we feel like we can offer anything to God. God can handle it. God can hear it. Right? We can start supplication with, God, I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you that my grandma's sick. I'm mad at you that I lost my loved one. God, I'm mad at you because God can handle it. Because if we start from a place of relationship, then we believe that God is there and walks with us. That's a really important distinction there. Here's the thing about prayer that I think we get so caught up in. We're so worried about saying the right words, we forget that it's about relationship. We're so worried that maybe, just maybe, God won't answer a prayer the way that we want God to answer a prayer, so we go, then I'm not going to do it at all. Yet research shows, this is not just the Bible, this is not just Tim up here saying it. Research shows that prayer and meditation brings us peace. There is something about coming to God with humility and saying, God, I need you. I'm sorry for the ways that I've hurt other people, and God, I need you. The words will come, friends. Worry more about being in a relationship with God who infinitely loves you than you do about the words that you say. And believe that God is there with you. And for some of us, that's harder than others. Sometimes our prayer needs to start off with, God, I just want to believe that you're there. So I'm going to sit and wait and see how you respond. So I want to do a little exercise this morning. I want to have some space to walk through a prayer. A space where you can offer prayer, a space where you can lift things up. It'll be quiet, and I'm just going to kind of lead us through space. If you're a person who says, yeah, I don't know about this prayer thing, just sit and be and allow God to do what God does. But I want to invite us into a space following this same structure, for lack of a better phrase. So we're just going to move into a time of prayer. This is a time of silent prayer, but I'm going to lead us through. God, we pause in the midst of our week. We pause in the midst of this space to simply honor you for who you are. To take a moment to offer you praise and to pray that your will might be done. And now, God, we move into a space of confession. Maybe there's somebody we haven't been kind to this week. Maybe that somebody is ourselves. Maybe there's somebody we've offered a harsh word to. We've done something to break relationship with someone else. So God, we just take a moment and offer a confession so that we can release whatever that thing is. God, now we move into a space of supplication where we pray on behalf of others that we care about, where we pray on behalf of ourselves. God, where we ask you to bring your healing on a relationship or on our physical bodies. God, thank you that you hear our prayers. God, thank you that you're a God that longs for us to be part of this inbreaking of your kingdom. That you're a God who longs for us to love one another and to love you with all of who we are and to love ourselves. So Holy Spirit, do what you do and let us get out of the way. In Jesus' precious name, amen.